The Tom Woods Show, episode 2368.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Hey, everybody. We all know it is time for us to break up, but everybody's status quo bias is standing in the way of this obvious and humane solution. Check out my e-book called National Divorce, The Peaceful Solution to Irreconcilable Differences, which you can get for free at nationaldivorce.com. Hey, everybody. Tom Woods here. Very glad to be joined once again by Zach Weissmuller, who's a senior producer at Reason. And we've got an interesting topic today. I'm going to have on the show notes page, tomwoods.com/2368, a video that Zach made along with our friend Jim Epstein when they were recently, not generically in Honduras, but in a very, very particular place that should be of great interest to people who listen to this program. So Zach, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me back, Tom.
All right, let's talk about this. I know a little bit about these kinds of free cities. I think there's a Free Cities Foundation out there whose founder I think I've interviewed, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. So is this classified in that general category, what we're talking about today?
Yeah, free cities, or some people call them charter cities. There's the Charter Cities Institute. So there's a whole line of thought around this idea. And Honduras just happens to be, for reasons we can get into in a little bit, the place where it's kind of been pushed the furthest along.
Gotcha. Okay. But now in principle, let's start there. This whole free cities thing, in principle, is this something that could occur in any country of the world?
In principle, yes. And that's the idea. So the place that I went to, known as Prospera in Roatan, an island off the coast of Honduras, that is where that is being built. But the founder of that, Eric Bremen, he calls it a platform. He says Prospera is not a place, it's a platform. So his ambition ultimately is to have Prospera Honduras, Prospera in the Middle East, Prospera U.S. maybe one day. So yeah, the idea is that once you get a working model, that it's something that hopefully would be able to be replicated anywhere. But that all depends on kind of how friendly the host country is to the idea.
All right. So in the case of Prospera, you're saying that in principle, there could be a Prospera in this or that region of the world. There's a part of the video in which you say that it's less a physical place than it is, I don't know, maybe an approach to government and society. So maybe we should start there. You actually visited the place in Honduras. Now, not that I'm an expert on the geography of Honduras, but where actually in the country is it?
So Prospera, their first location is on an island called Roatan, which is off the coast of Honduras. It's a tourist destination. People go there to go scuba diving or, you know, stay at a resort.
Cruise ships pass through there too.
Cruise ships pass through there a lot. That's right. And so that was appealing to them, they told me, just because it's already got some tourism baked into the infrastructure. There's an airport there that's pretty easy to use from the U.S. There's direct flights from Miami, for instance. So that is where I went. I had visited Honduras back in 2014 when this was first in the works. The law that authorized these kind of zones, which are known in Honduras as ZEDES, when you translate it to English, it's more or less zones for economic development. And that passed in 2013. So I first visited the mainland in 2014 to see a couple of sites where they were thinking of building some of these. It was all purely theoretical back then. I even visited Roatan and kind of saw some jungle that later would become what I just visited. So 9 years later, there's actually something to look at, which was an interesting journey for me.
Yeah, so you've had an opportunity to go there, as I said, with Jim, and that was how you were able to make this video. You were able to talk to people. How, though, just going back into the history of it, How does somebody start something like this? What's the process? Do they negotiate with the government of Honduras? I mean, presumably they'd have to.
Well, so what happened was in 2013, the Honduran parliament, Honduran Congress, passed a law known as the ZEDE law, which the context of all this is Honduras is an extremely dangerous country. Back when I visited in 2014. It was actually the largest city there, Tegucigalpa, was the murder capital of the world. It had the highest per capita murder rate. Vast swaths of it are run by narco gangs or were run by narco gangs. The ease of doing business, if you look at rankings, it's always way near the bottom. Kind of contract enforcement is very weak. Rule of law is really bad. And they had just had a very tumultuous change of power where their previous president was more or less ousted by a military coup because he tried to illegally call a referendum to kind of allow his term to be extended. And so because of all that, they were in a sense more open to trying a radical fix because there was this emerging charter city movement. This intellectual economist, Paul Romer, kind of came up with the original idea of the charter cities. And they pitched some influential people there and said, look, instead of endlessly trying to reform this corrupt state you've got going here, what if you just carved out some little zones, granted them some level of autonomy, and then either private companies or the original idea was even it would kind of be overseen by foreign governments could come in and like apply a template that we know works. We know that in Singapore, with this set of property rights protections and business regulations and tax code, it creates prosperity. So you could import the Singapore model, you could import the Dubai model, you could import the Canada model, which is where Paul Romer was from. No one went for that version. But that was the idea that was pitched. The Congress that had just booted the former president was more sympathetic to that. The new president who came in was behind it. So it really started gaining a lot of momentum. And Prosper was one of three that got approved pretty early on. Then lots of applications flowed in, but for political reasons that we can talk about more, those never got approved. So Prospera is one of the only ones that's actually started to come to fruition at this point.
So the interesting thing to me about this is in your interview with one of the, I don't remember his name, but you actually asked, is this like anarcho-capitalism?
Yes.
And he says, well, in a way, kind of it is. And so, for example, dispute resolution, I thought that was interesting. How exactly is that carried out?
Yeah, so the person I asked that question of was Eric Bremen, and he is the co-founder of Prospera Inc., Honduras Prospera Inc., which is the company that administers and started up Prospera. He co-founded it with economist Gabriel Delgado, and they are both explicit free market libertarian type people. And when I posed that question to him, it was kind of in the context of that's a bit of an attack that he's been getting from some of his political opponents in Honduras, but he owned it a little bit. He's like, in a true understanding of anarcho-capitalism, yeah, this is kind of anarcho-capitalism. The way that my opponents are portraying anarcho-capitalism, where it's just like a free-for-all with no rules whatsoever and everyone can just trample all over each other, that is not accurate at all. There actually are rules. They are just, the rules are implemented by market discipline. So in the case of dispute resolution that you brought up, everyone has to come in and agree to have an arbitration service that they have signed up with. Prospera offers its own arbitration service that you can sign on to once you agree to be governed by their jurisdiction, or you can bring in an outside arbitration service, which you have to have something. Similarly, if you're trying to start a company there, you have to carry some sort of insurance, and that insurance usually is going to want you to say that you are abiding by some sort of regulation. You kind of pick from a menu of regulations. OECD countries are kind of like, if you pick something from that menu, your insurance premium is going to be a little bit lower, that you can kind of mix and match from different jurisdictions. You can come up with your own regulatory scheme and hope that somebody will insure you. But to his point there, there are rules that you have to follow. Also, everyone has to follow the Honduran national law. You know, they can't legalize drugs in there, for instance. That was part of the deal with Honduras. You can't do anything that's against Honduran criminal law. But in terms of financial regulation, business regulation, that is all determined by the participants themselves.
I'm going to say this actually on the air, Zach. For some reason, where I am, Central Florida, over the past month and a half, it's been like a massive thunderstorm almost every day. I've never seen anything like it. So if my power should go out, if you should lose me, rest assured, I am racing to get a hotspot going and I'll get right back to you.
No problem. I was going to say, I've got thunder cracking in the background right now. So if you hear anything, I'm in the same situation because I'm in Northern Florida. So,
okay. Okay. All right. So you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
So the average person in Honduras, can that person just move here? Is there any obstacle to going there any more than there would be to moving to any other part of the physical territory of Honduras?
For them, it's easier than anyone. Anyone from around the world can apply to become part of Prospera Zede. And they have different kind of tiers of membership. They've got what are called e-residents, where you don't actually live there year-round, but you're able to visit a certain number of times a year and you pay a certain annual fee to be an e-resident. They have about 600 e-residents so far. And then they've got 200 to 300 workers. Most of those are from Honduras, either people that come from the mainland and work construction jobs, or they've got people who are being remote workers. So we're in the age of remote work now. So there's higher skilled people that companies have set up remote offices there in Prospera because it's advantageous to them. And local Hondurans are going into the office in Prospera, working for a Canadian company, and then going home. And the native Hondurans, they get a discount. So it's about $1,300 for an outsider. That's the annual fee to be part of Prospera. Native Hondurans, it's about an 80% discount. So it's about $250, $260 to join. And anyone who wants to can opt in. That's the entire idea behind the whole premise, is that it's all voluntary opt-in and opt-out.
Hey, everybody, let's take a minute to thank our sponsor, StartMail. When we think about privacy online, it's easy to forget email. But your emails are full of all kinds of personal and sensitive details, maybe financial information, health information, login credentials, whatever. StartMail is the secure email service that keeps your inbox safe. Regular emails of the sort you would have with your quote-unquote free email provider are like open postcards. They're accessible to cyber criminals, companies, even government agencies. Popular services like Gmail and Yahoo scan and analyze the content of your emails to generate targeted ads. They keep copies of your emails, sometimes for months after you deleted them. Why make your life an open book when you can have StartMail? StartMail is ad-free and secure, so you can have secure email communication without surveillance, without ads. You get world-class encryption, so even if your recipient doesn't use encryption, you can send encrypted emails with StartMail. Your confidential messages stay private, and when you delete an email, it's gone forever. And it's hassle-free. You may be thinking, oh, this is a great idea, but I don't want to transition. There's an easy migration tool that allows you to move your emails and contacts from Gmail, Outlook, Yahoo, and other providers with just a few clicks. Well, sign up today and save 50% on your first subscription year. Go to startmail.com/woods and join tens of thousands of people who trust StartMail for their email security needs. That's StartMail with a T, startmail.com/woods for 50% off. Now, earlier, of course, you were talking about some of the problems with Honduras in general, which have a great deal to do with the state. And of course, we've seen with people like, what's that guy, De Soto, who did the book, The Other Path, Hernando De Soto?
Yes, yes.
Who talked about the importance of secure property titles and rights of contract and all that. And Honduras hasn't really got that. Uh-huh. So you were describing some of the political problems that they've had that then spill over into and help to account for some of the impoverishment in the country, maybe a great deal of it. So the other side of that coin is, how is my life improved as somebody who, as you say, people can come from anywhere, but let's say I'm somebody who lives in Honduras, I'm familiar with the society, and I want to make a change. How is my life improved by this new free city, or whatever we might call it?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because that is the entire point of the Congress authorizing this, was it was sold as a way to improve the lives of a country where not just poverty, but extreme poverty is rampant. And I saw a lot of that firsthand when I was there. The thing about a place like Roatan, you know, you go there as a tourist, and you, if you stay on the resort, you don't really understand what's going on. But if you wander outside of that a little bit, people are living in places, it's dirt floors, it's no running water, it's just extremely primitive stuff. There's a fishing village adjacent to Prospera. And Jim and I went and visited some of the neighbors, both on Roatan, and then they've opened another site right across the sea there on the mainland. And most of the people we talked to said they're bringing jobs. We like them. There's one community there where there's a little bit of tension because some of the political leaders there are afraid that the ZA is going to expropriate their land, you know, like eminent domain them, basically. And I totally understand where their fears are coming from, because they live in a country where the government is constantly expropriating land. So there's that anxiety there, especially among the more, I'd say, like politically aware, politically active people. But most of the just kind of normal people living there, they all seemed happy because they look over there and they see jobs being created. They see a 14-story tower being built, the tallest on the island. They see things getting done in a country where there's a lot of red tape, there's a lot of corruption that stops things from getting done.
Well, here's one of the key questions I'd like to hear answered. I mean, I got it in the video, more or less. But let's think about what possible threats there are to the future of this thing, because if the ruling authorities don't like the law that made it possible for something like this to be set up in the first place, that could cause problems. And the present political climate does not look terribly favorable.
That is the big sort of question mark at the end of the video, because what has happened is, I mentioned earlier that there was this coup and this change of power, and now the old administration, so the wife of the guy who was ousted, her name is Xiomara Castro, is back in power. And she's the first democratic socialist, like proclaimed democratic socialist, to be the president of Honduras. And she ran explicitly on the promise that she would abolish the ZAs. And she's tweeted all sorts of hostile things about the ZAs. They have kind of done an initial repeal of the law, although that's yet to be ratified. And it's yet to be seen what happens to a place like Prospera. Like, will they be grandfathered in, or are they actually going to march in there and take it back? And Eric Brimmon, the founder who I talked to, said that he's confident that they are protected because there was an international treaty that, if it's violated, is going to cost upwards of $10 billion for the national government. Also, he believes that as they're becoming an economic engine and creating jobs, that there's going to be way more downside than upside to go after them. So that's the kind of thing we just have to wait and see. But that is the challenge for any of these projects anywhere in the world, is I'm interested in this idea because it's a peaceful way to carve out a little bit of liberty, a little autonomous zone where the decision-making truly is made on a voluntary basis. But the reason it's never been tried, I guess, is that there's always the bigger government with all the guns who can come in and take it. So that's why I think this is so high stakes. What happens to Prospera one way or another is kind of like, it's a proving ground for, can we try this? Like, if this can work in a place like Honduras, maybe it's actually easier to work other places. There's ideas to do it here in the United States. If it doesn't work, that might be, you know, strangling the baby in the cradle.
In fact, I was actually thinking about that. Yeah, we could maybe use a little bit of this here at home. Now, you had a chance to just walk around and talk to people. So
yeah.
I've asked you a lot of by the book sorts of questions, but what are your instincts? What kind of impressions did you get? What are your overall impressions of this project and its prospects?
I'm impressed with what they've done in a relatively short amount of time. I mean, they started moving on this in 2017. So it's been just under 6 years, and they've gone from an undeveloped jungle to having a beautiful office building, some model housing. They've created this like modular housing, and they're building what's called a circular factory, which is going to be this completely automated robotics manufacturing area where they kind of create all the components to then build more housing more cheaply. So it's this kind of like interesting vertical integration. I mentioned they've got this large condo going up. They also managed to incorporate a huge resort that is just down the road from their initial property called Pristine Bay, which is beautiful. It's like this mountainous resort overlooking the ocean. So that was a huge get for them too, because it's got basically neighborhoods in there, little villas. So people coming over, trying to open up shop in Prospera, kind of have a turnkey solution. So there's a lot of promise there. There's a lot happening. And their biggest X factor is this, what is the national administration going to do? If they can get past that, my impression is like they're well on their way to building something really exciting.
Is there a way that if there were, let's say, a more sympathetic regime in power, that Prospera could make a case for why it's a good thing for Honduras for it to be there? I mean, right now, I have a feeling that the politicos in charge would be blocking their ears. But if you weren't talking to people like that, is there a case they could make that this is a net benefit for you and you should let us be?
I think that is a case that they are making, even to this hostile administration. They are not listening to that case. But like Bremen said, there's going to be costs to trying to get rid of this at this point. They're already in some sort of arbitration that he couldn't speak too much about to me, but they are, you know, it's not costless for them to shut down Prospera. And the upsides, if they continue growing their local economy, if this spills out into the rest of Roatan and they see job growth when the rest of the economy is contracting, that's kind of impossible to ignore, even for a democratic socialist. And this is not like, you know, she's not like Hugo Chavez or something. She doesn't have that level of like personality cult and like consolidation of power. It's not the same situation. So I think there's still hope for them there to make that case. Everything, like just like worldwide, has been slowed by what happened during the pandemic. So they're bouncing out of that. But if they can continue that trajectory, then yeah, I am confident that there's enough pragmatism there. And Honduras has experimented with less autonomous versions of these zones that have done very well for them in the past. So I think that there's a lot more open-mindedness to it than maybe the rhetoric would give you the impression.
How often does Reason TV release, this is like a roughly half-hour documentary, how often do you get videos like this if you subscribe to your channel?
So yeah, our channel is kind of like a variety pack. So these big documentaries come out once a month or so. And in the meantime, we've got interviews running every week. I do a live stream every Thursday with Nick Gillespie. We've got comedy skits. So we put out something just about every day of the week. These documentaries take a little bit more work. It's a longer process to bake that cake. But if you subscribe, you'll definitely be seeing something like this once a month or so.
All right, very good. Well, as I say, I'm going to have the video itself up for people who are interested at tomwoods.com/2368. So check that out. Zach, is there any kind of a link you want to share with people while you're here?
I would just say go to youtube.com/ReasonTV and subscribe. You can follow me on Twitter @TheAbridgedZach, where I post all my work. And yeah, that's it. Thank you very much for having me on, Tom.
Oh, the pleasure is mine. Thanks so much for this excellent work. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit TomWoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at Podsworth.com.